This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Good Tuesday morning. Amy Jacobson here, and Sean from Elmwood Park is in for Dan Proft, but he's not in this hell that we call Chicago. He's in luxurious Naples, Florida. How's it going down there, partner?
Oh, I'll tell you, it's wonderful. Not because it's luxurious or not because it's Florida, just because it's not Illinois. That's exactly how I feel about it. I'm so disgusted when you think about what they've done to our state. You know, I mean, it's where I live. It's where I grew up. It's where I invested in real estate.
I know, it's sad.
Especially when you see the difference between a well-run state and one that is built on corruption. And really, you know, it's absolute and total tyranny. I mean, you know, Amy, you were just down here. Don't play innocent with me, kid. You got tan lines yourself. And, you know, everything's open. You know, I was driving yesterday. I had several appointments. And you look in these little strip malls, and you see these little tiny stores. And they're open, and they're packed. And you realize, in Illinois, those are the people that are home and depressed and busted.
Yep.
And Mitt Romney's tip is supposed to help them for $600.
Yeah,
morons.
And last night it was passed by the House and Senate. It's going to President Trump's desk today. We know what was in it. You know, the $600 that you mentioned for an adult and for a child, the $300 enhanced unemployment benefits a week, and you know the first round of payments it was $1,200, but now it's $600. But we're learning this morning of these. You know, there's always crazy pork barrel spending that they throw in bills.
It's the greatest thievery bill ever in the history of this country.
Are you $135 million to Burma? Burma? What are we giving $135 million to Burma for?
Also known as Miramar.
Yeah. $85.5 million to Cambodia.
I knew watching Seinfeld would pay off.
See? There you go.
Yeah.
But the worst, I think, is definitely the craziest one at all. Are you ready for this, Sean?
Hit me.
COVID relief bill also includes $10 million for gender programs in Pakistan. This is something out of the movie Borat. You cannot make this up. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment.
Gender programs in Pakistan,
where you pretty much
have to turn people upside down naked to figure out who they are anyway. Now you've got gender programs. Does this with or without the burqa?
I mean, you can't make this up. I don't know why we would be giving our hard-earned tax dollars to gender programs in Pakistan.
I just also heard we're giving $130 million to Nepal.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, did you see that?
Yeah. Why?
What do they do for us? I mean, are they going to send us over those blankets, those Gitche tribal blankets? I don't mind if they hand those things out.
Then $1.4 billion for Asia Reassurance Initiative Act. Can you care to explain, Sean, what that is?
The ambiguity in the title. Just read it real slow. What does it say? Asia?
Asia Reassurance Initiative Act, and it's in quotations, so you know it's very important.
You know what's disgusting is that if you took that dollar amount, I think it's the total dollar amount is like $2.3 trillion. If you took that dollar, because they gave
it to small businesses in America, they're the
they're
the backbone of our country.
No. Forget small business.
Oh,
forget
I'm not small business.
Give it to every living and breathing human being, American citizen, all 337 million. And you get just under $7,000, soft math. I think it's like almost $6,900.
$6,900 bucks an American?
Every single.
I would go for that.
Wait a minute, though. Every single breathing. That means from the ones that escape the killing fields known as abortion, the little tiny ones, all the way up to the old people who've been voting Democrat for 10 years and never left their house. All of those people, every single breathing American gets just under $7,000. We could let these scumbag crooks, 535 of our most crooked, lying, deceiving scum, steal the money and give it to the donors that fund their campaigns. Boy, which one do you think would work?
Well, I mean, think about it. The government closes the economy. You lose your job. You face eviction. Some people, I know my friend, she hasn't been able to pay her rent for her small business for 3 months. So they do that. They're going to throw you 600 bones for your troubles. Meanwhile, they send $135 million to Burma, $85.5 million to Cambodia. You know the list.
I say we tell all these gangbangers that these politicians, this scumbag over here in the Brooks Brothers suit, and even the one that's the girl, in the pretend little miniature Brooks Brothers suit. They decided you don't get $7,000. You just got cheated out of $7,000 that they made because they hate you. They hold you in such contempt, they'd rather give it to Nepal. Now see how many CPS students even know there's a country in Nepal.
I mean, the amount of money given to foreign governments in this bill is astounding. And I mean, bribery, it's a joke, and it's no wonder no one likes Congress, really.
It's bribery, intimidation.
312-642-5600. Let's go to the phone lines. Nick, on the Northwest Side, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yes, good morning. And thanks over there to Sean for rubbing it in that he's down there. I think I got you beat, though. I got a bottle of D3 tablets, that vitamin supplement, and a can of spray, you know, to make myself look like I got a tan.
Yeah, and you're gonna do wonderful. You go with that one. Yeah.
I hope it's not too orange. Yeah. You don't want to look like Orange Man, because Orange Man's bad.
Mm-hmm. Orange Man, yeah. That's what I'm afraid of. Yeah, a little orange tint to it, so I'm afraid to go outside now. But I was going to say, I just want to take the opportunity again to ask people down there in Georgia, if this gets down to them with a signal or somebody hears it and passes it down, you got to vote that much more with some of these things that have been brought up.
Yeah.
Pretty conservative, common sense, three Republican candidates. Doesn't mean it's going to solve everything, but it's going to be much better than the alternative.
The only thing you could do to help the American people, the real people like us, the ones who think wrong and right. You want to know the only thing you could do in Georgia to help is nobody vote.
Oh, we
zero.
You sound like Lynn Wood. You sound like a crazy man.
The Republicans, zero. Really? So what I want to do by recognizing the cheat is crazy. But what you want to do by playing into the cheat, that's sane?
No, Sean, don't ever tell people not to vote.
Never waste your time in a corrupt system. Ever. Or you could run around and pretend your ancestors died for your right to vote. You got a real chance. And you could ignore exactly what just happened to you a month ago, a month and a half ago.
Well, listen, they had 1,700
people
vote
make the world
twice.
Go around. Stupid people think their $600 is a good deal and that small business is getting help. Stupid people make up political parties. And stupid people support Paul Krugman, Keynesian economics, and the government as we know it, without recognizing, you know who the bad player is in currency? A scumbag country that'll print up $2.3 trillion to pretend it's actually open for business.
And giving money to foreign governments. When, again, they should be advocating for small businesses, the backbone of America, which employs around half the workforce and accounts for around half of the GDP.
The lying, cheating, war criminal scumbag is the one waving the American flag.
Let's go to Chip in St. Charles. Good morning, Chip. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very good, and it's really good to talk to both of you guys. In order to get money back from the skim, first you have to give the money away. And that's what you see going on here. All that money being given away to all these foreign countries, it'll come back to the politicians, the dirtbag ones. But you have to give it away first in order to get it back.
And ignore the inflation, ignore the devaluation, ignore the destruction to the every working man that you do. And you're right. Yeah. I agree with you.
There's starving Americans out there, and our stimulus package gave $700 million to Sudan.
Yeah, the starving Americans. You know the biggest problem among poor people in America?
They don't want to work. Is that what you're saying?
No, obesity. They're fat pigs.
You know why, Sean? I'm going to tell you why. Because when I was living paycheck to paycheck, guess what was the cheapest food to buy? Fast food, the dollar menu meal at McDonald's.
And the ones who are skinny sell their green card for money for heroin. It's a great system. It's doing great. We're such a great country.
Well, and there's a lot of food deserts, too. When I lived in Detroit, they'd have to drive miles to get to a grocery store. So
the food desert only exists where there's Democrats. The only place that wherever you see no good groceries, no good business, who is the politician? You better wake the hell up, dummy.
Greg and LaGrange, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you guys.
Oh, it's Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
I didn't put
happy
up one Christmas decoration, but okay, go.
I'm not even saying Christmas anymore.
Money, and a bunch of zeros and ones are no substitute for freedom. There is no substitute for freedom for people to go back to work. That's all they had to do.
Craig, where's their freedom? Nothing. We better stop talking talking points. Right. Where is their freedom? You got freedom right now? Go outside without your mask on, walk in a restaurant.
Yeah, you'll see how
you're real free.
Tackle you.
Wave the flag. Yay, look at us.
Sean, I understand that. I totally understand that. One thing that you mentioned is that there was a trillion spent a couple weeks ago. Can you kind of flesh it out a little bit?
Continuing resolution after 9 p.m. They voted to keep the spending, and they threw another $300 billion on top of it just for a little something for the friends. Sickening.
It's absolutely amazing to me. The cats, think about how bad this is, and think about where the Democrats wanted to go with $3.4 trillion. Think about Zimbabwe.
Think about
Weimar Republic. I mean, how fast are we trying to get to that point?
You got a $4 trillion economy, and you printed $16.2 trillion. Before this bill, how you doing?
Yeah, my last thing, Sean. I guess it's more towards you than Shamey.
Shamey is good. We're going with Shamey.
Sean and Amy. Shamey.
She's done that Shamey walk
Dan
a few times.
Dan and Amy. Damey.
Early. The only reason I would vote Republican down in Georgia, and this is my only reason, is that if our breed, if our mindset loses at least a foot in the door, we may never get our foot back in the door. We have a shot if the Republicans win down there, and forcing people like McConnell out. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of all these old institutional Republican senators. Get them out. But I don't think we have a chance to do any of that if we lose those two seats. That's that's my only argument about voting,
Sean,
down there.
Right. Never tell people not to vote. We need
Republicans.
It's a
cheating system. What are you, too crazy? Why don't you go in the closet, bang your head against the wall, and say you like the view? What the hell's wrong with you? You've been robbed.
We know. They were doing signature matches, and we know that 1,700 people voted twice. Those people should be arrested and not allowed to vote in the special election.
You know that the machine can be accessed from the internet? You know that everything could be hacked? You know that there's an algorithm uptick? They shut it down for 4 hours, and you don't care.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
It was the shot heard around the world. President-elect Joe Biden getting his vaccine shot with, of course, his wife, Jill, standing right next to him.
What I want to say is we owe these folks an awful lot. The scientists and the people who put this together, the frontline workers, the people who were the ones who actually did the clinical work. It's just amazing. And I wish we had time to take you through the whole hospital to see how.
We're going to have to go through 4 years of this.
Yeah.
I'm already bored.
First of all.
But he did compliment Operation Warp Speed, and I think there was a compliment in there somewhere for President Trump.
The administration deserves some credit getting this off the ground with Operation Warp Speed. I also think that it's worth saying that this is great hope. I'm doing this to demonstrate that people should be prepared when it's available to take the vaccine.
Well, and also, too, because you're old and you're the type of person that should be getting this vaccine rather than older people who are very sickly in nursing homes.
Yeah. You mean the one that they rushed with the numerous side effects that they don't want to talk about?
312-642-5600, turnkey Depro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Because there's some pushback. The girls are fighting. I don't know if you saw this on Friday night, because I follow AOC on Instagram. Do you,
Friday night. I was in a tavern, even though I don't drink, with a couple of waitresses dancing around me. It was splendid. Oh. I didn't see it. I'm pretty sure I didn't see this.
Well, a representative AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, recorded her experience getting the COVID-19 shots. She's 31 years old, extremely healthy, in great shape, and she got a vaccine shot. Quote, I would never, never, ever ask anyone to do something that I wasn't willing to do myself, she wrote in the post. And then the Democratic Socialists also answered questions from her followers, you know, because she's here for the people. They want to know about her symptoms after the inoculation. And she said, well, I have a little muscle soreness in my arm, which is not unusual with any shot. The second thing that I'm feeling is fatigue, but also it's been a really long time since I've had a break. you know, alluding to the week's marathon session at Capitol Hill.
What a fancy.
I mean, so here's the 312-642-5600. Should these people be jumping the line? And what does that say about them that they think they're so much better than our parents who are healthy but have been isolated and alone for 9 months?
You're confusing me a little bit. You're confusing me, and I want you to help me. So you want this shot first?
Shot to be given to people who need it, not like people like AOC. And you know
really?
Who's fighting back against her? Is another Spice or Squad member, Representative Omar from Minnesota.
The pretty one, yeah.
Yeah, well, she just, you know, she said it's now clear that, you know, we don't have enough vaccines for everyone, and there's a shortage of supplies, so we have to prioritize those who need it most.
I think we should give it to all the Democrats first.
Also fighting back, Tulsi Gabbard.
Heartless, arrogant, unelected CDC bureaucrats have decided that the lives of elderly Americans just don't count. Now, for months, the CDC has been telling us that the elderly are the most vulnerable. But now they are recommending that 100 million so-called essential workers, which means healthy people working at everything from liquor stores to telephone companies, they can get the vaccine before our grandparents can. That members of Congress like me, we can get the vaccine before at-risk seniors can. People like my aunt, who is imprisoned in her own home because of the danger that if she catches the disease, she could die. Now, this is immoral and bad health policy. I had planned to take the vaccine, but will now stand in solidarity with our seniors by not doing so until they can.
So
I urge my colleagues in Congress who are under the age of 65 and healthy to join me.
So basically during the, you know, the stimulus package talks and marathon sessions, somebody from Pfizer or CVS came and vaccinated politicians. Now, Nancy Pelosi got it.
I love this.
Mitch McConnell got it. Oh, no, this is all while they're, you know, discussing the stimulus package because Americans are starving out there and losing their livelihoods.
Nancy Pelosi's got
Nancy
so
Pelosi
much
got
booze
it.
In her system. She don't know whether she got it or not. She's been drunk since 72. Get off the table, Nancy.
Nancy,
dimwit.
Come down. You need to get your shot.
Get down. We
so,
know how you got it.
But AOC took it and, you know, turned it into a post on her Instagram. And it is so elitist and snobby. And as Omar said, it would make sense if it was age, but unfortunately, it's of importance and it's shameful that they choose politicians first.
Only if it works is it those things you said. If it's what I think it is, I say bravo. And let's say I believe that they actually gave Joe Biden the thing. Let's say that I believe there was actually
Did you see him
vaccine.
Too? Old man arms and he's got man tits.
Facade of a man.
Oh, it's
and
bad.
And these loathsome Democrats and these scum Lincoln Republicans and these moron Keystone Libertarians, these are the people that looked at that piece of garbage, 50-year political whore, the one with the scandal-ridden past from everything from that dimwit he's married to the multimillionaire brothers. And they said, I'm going to pull a lever for this guy. You people are scum, just like he is. That's why I love it down here. Because you know what? The waiter... Last night, the waiter heard me on the phone.
Yeah.
Of course, I go to a restaurant every meal. The waiter heard me on the phone and said to me, you sell real estate, maybe you could help me. The waiter moved from Hawaii. He grew up and lived in Hawaii. He moved. When I asked him, what would make you move? I've never been to Hawaii, and I'm dying. It's the one place I'd love to go. He said, politically, they destroyed my country. My state.
His
politically,
island,
they destroyed my island. He said, my family's been there for as long as they can remember. He goes, I researched where to come. And in Naples, Florida, it's called Collier County. We have the highest concentration of Republican votes. He said, so that's why I came here. I didn't know what to do, anything. Him and his wife are waiters. These are the kind of people that are down here. That's why you come to high ground and you tell those rat scums from the Keystone Libertarians with their pseudo-intellectual moron faces all the way down to the scum Socialist Democrat, get away from me.
They still wear masks down there and they still socially distance. They do.
Where?
And,
here?
Yeah.
I had some girl tell me I had no mask on. She's like, thank you for wearing a mask. I said, I haven't seen the rest of your face, but I want to thank you just in case. They don't force you to do anything.
No, they don't. But yeah. I did go to a few Orange Theory classes and I had to wear a mask. But then when I got to my piece of equipment, I got to take it off. So,
oh, look at you. That's living, huh?
That is, you know what? Isn't that sad that that is living? I was so happy to feel free. And they were mad that they had to wear a mask into the gym. I said, do you understand how lucky you are that, one, your gym is open, two, that you don't have to wear it the whole time while you're working out? Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you the story again. When I was training for a marathon, and when you go in higher elevations, our coach said people would wear masks while they're running in Chicago to deplete their oxygen level to simulate higher elevations. So that is what we're doing to ourselves, folks.
Well, here's the other thing you're doing, morons. Morons.
Morons.
Chicago
yes.
Democrat morons that run that public restroom called O'Hare Airport that I had to go through that sewer the other day. Aside from the shoddy construction, it's absolutely filthy. The trays that you have to put your things in, I'm not kidding you, they look like urinal cakes.
Well, what
and you want me to put
fly?
My things in there? I flew a United on the way down, American on the way back. You want me to put my? What do you mean you don't have the experience? You think the trays at TSA are good?
Those trays when you go through security.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I got my mask on. I can't take it off. They got the TSA comes with their Gaddafi costumes. Put your mask on. And in the meantime, what you want me to put and touch and everything is disgusting. But the mask is on. That's because you have morons in charge of everything.
Let's go.
And you're going to put in your body something these idiots created? Go ahead.
Pat in Woodstock, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to relay the story. I flew out of Midway last weekend, and the restaurants and bars are open inside Midway.
Oh, I know. Same
when those people kick back to politicians to get those slots, they better be open.
Yeah, and the landlord's the city of Chicago.
Exactly.
So why not have it open where my sister's bar can't be open? So I just wanted to relay that, the inconsistency and hypocrisy.
Oh, it continues. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
Who do you think has those slots in those airports? That's a big clout
of
position,
politicians
brother.
And aldermen.
Those are all the shill minority. They stick their wives in there. They stick some girl that works for them in there. And they open up and they ring the register because they got a captive audience.
Pete, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy. Do you have an approximate number of the amount of elderly in nursing homes and such that need the vaccination?
I do. Last press conference, Pritzker said in the whole state of Illinois, there's 120,000 people in nursing homes and assisted living centers that need the vaccine. So, and I did get an update from his PR person, Jordan Abdaye. Pfizer is expecting 60,450 doses to be delivered today and tomorrow. Moderna is sending 174,000 doses to be in Illinois on Wednesday and Thursday. And so far, 63,000 Illinoisans have been vaccinated. But these numbers do not include the city of Chicago. Does that help?
So we're well covered then for that plus then beyond. So that's great.
Yeah. Oh, you did the math for me. Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Wait to buy my black market. I've been vaccinated, licensed, so that I can walk when they ask me, show me your papers, and I'll show them the fake one, and the morons in the Gaddafi costumes will never know. I ain't taking that stuff if you could put a gun to my head.
Rich in Indian Head Park.
Yes, good morning, Amy. Good morning, Sean. Nice talking to you again.
You too.
The question I have is I'm 70 years old, and I have a pre-existing condition. It's called myositis. It's an inflammation of the muscles, and it weakens the muscles. And I'm just wondering, I'm not hearing anything solid. When are people like me going to be able to get this vaccine, even though I don't think I'm going to get the vaccine?
The first week in February, if all goes as planned.
You could pick it up at the
no, let me give him information.
Clinic.
Let me give him information before you go on. CVS and Walgreens are helping out in assisted living homes and in nursing homes starting at the end of next week. And then the next tier, they want to do people like you. Teachers, EMTs, firefighters, people that work in the food industry.
Okay.
So we're looking at the beginning of, hopefully the end of January, but maybe the beginning of February. But you've got to call your doctor and get on that.
So we have to call the doctor maybe to get on a list, or how's that work?
To call your doctor, first of all, to see if you can take it, to make sure you have no other allergies or conditions. And then either CVS or Walgreens, I know they're going to have a big rollout program like they do with the flu shots, but you can also get it at your doctor's office.
Okay, but like I said, I don't know if I'm going to take it.
Huh. Well, this was a whole big waste of a call then. All right,
well,
thank you.
That's his choice. My body, my choice, right, Sean?
Absolutely.
It's always about your body, your choice.
I mean, think about when we were kids. You know, I mean, I know you look wonderful, but you're up in the years. You got a little long tooth going on.
Wow.
Think about when we were kids, a 70-year-old person, a 75-year-old person. I mean, they looked and felt like what today is 90 years old.
I know.
I mean, at a certain point, when are you guys going to – nobody gets out alive. I hate to break it to you. None of us are going to get out alive. Me, you, we'll all be on that bed like a guppy trying to get our last breath. That's just how the game is played. You want to take a pill, a shot, you don't feel good, you're depressed, you're afraid of the flu. Look at you. I mean, come on, wake up.
Yes, wake up, people.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
I want Christmas. Just give me plain baby Jesus lying in a manger. Christmas.
On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Good Tuesday morning. Amy Jacobson here. Sean Thompson. Sean from Elmwood Park on Twitter. In for Dan Prof today. Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
Were you there for day three of Mayor Lightfoot's apology tour?
No.
Yesterday, she surrounded herself with two of the most powerful African-American aldermen to make sure that, you know, she's safe. And while you guys were sleeping, two more heads rolled at City Hall. Chicago Deputy Corporate Counsel Karen Jacobs and Law Department Director of Public Affairs are both out of jobs.
They're lobbyists now?
let them, you know, take the holidays off there, Sean, and then we'll see. Mm-hmm. But she also made a huge announcement yesterday. Those 12 officers who were involved in the raid, well, they've been taken off the streets, assigned to desk duty.
Further, under the direction of Superintendent Brown, all the officers involved in the raid in Ms. Young's home have been taken off the street and placed on desk duty. Mm-hmm. We will right the wrongs inflicted on Ms. Young and the wrongs inflicted on many others like her.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636, type in D. A, then a quick comment. Who should really be on desk duty? Mayor Lightfoot, maybe? Not the police officers, because we're getting more body cam footage. And I know it was hell for Anjanette Young for 40 minutes. She was naked, handcuffed, telling them 48 times, you've got the wrong person. But my law enforcement friend said anytime they go on raids, they all say, you've got the wrong person, you've got the wrong house. But here they are. Just listen for yourself and decide.
We believe your story. We believe not your story, but what you're telling us, okay? We've verified it as much as we possibly could, and we acted upon it. We'll get this resolved. Unfortunately, we act on information because we're trying to make the neighborhood safe.
Because they're trying to make the neighborhood safe. Where they messed up was the guy that they were looking for was on electronic monitoring and living in the apartment in that same complex. So they got some bad information, but to use these police officers as scapegoats... Here's John Cantanzara, FOP president.
Our officers are always the first in line to be thrown under the bus. You mean to tell me nobody in the mayor's inner circle knew about that video prior to the Tuesday? Like she's claiming she didn't know either.
312-642-5600, turnkey Depro answer line. What do you think, Sean?
Are we talking to that guy today?
We are not. We are talking to the
former.
Did you
tell him I wanted to talk to him?
We're talking to the former FOP president, Kevin Graham, about this issue and how they could fight back.
That's the Bears guy, right?
Yeah.
The Bears.
The Bears.
He's good. He's good.
Sausages.
They're always the first to go. And here's the other thing. Unless they got the right clout, right? So that's how you protect this corrupt mafia. If these guys had the right clout, say they drove Eddie Burke's kid around to his new pretend job. Say they drove him around. Now they wouldn't be in trouble, right? I mean, that's just how it works. So the weak link, the one without the clout, he gone. And the rest of them get promotions. Ta-da.
So
welcome to the sewer of Chicago.
Yeah, so I asked via Megan Galaros, I think, that she was the pool reporter, because they won't let people in because they're afraid of COVID. So they only let one reporter in. It's such bull jive. But anyway, I asked a very simple question. When did you see the tape? Because at first you said you saw it last Tuesday for the first time. Then we learned you knew about it 13 months ago. When did you see the tape, and are there other tapes that you're trying to suppress from the public?
This is from Amy Jacobson. When, what day did you see the botched raid video, and are there other police body cam videos you are trying to keep from the public?
Well, I have to say I'm offended by the premise of the question.
Really?
It's offensive to me. There's no cover-up, certainly not by me, none that I would tolerate. So that question, Amy, is offensive.
Yeah, that question, Amy, is offensive.
There's,
well, you know what's offensive?
Phony,
listen, no, I'm talking. This is what's offensive to me, that she lies to us and tries to backpedal and then use police officers as scapegoats and gets rid of her corporate counsel head who said he was only aware of this on Monday. So I don't know who to believe. I don't know who's telling the truth. I don't know who's lying. I know she lied to me about Census Cowboy. Not lied to me. She lied to us. And she lied about something so simple as the Census Cowboy. Well, why wouldn't she lie about something so big? I mean, think about it. This is what dictators do. They went to court to stop Channel 2 from airing a story. And they thought they weren't going to get caught. The arrogance of them.
What was the Friday you and I filled in?
But listen, and then they also, too, filed sanctions against the attorney for giving the tape to Channel 2. Who the hell do they think they are? She's done. 312-642-5600. She is done. Put
You're
a fork
delusional.
In it.
You're delusional.
No, I'm
Here,
not.
When was the Friday we filled in together? Wasn't this last one, was it?
This last Friday.
Remember, you got her on tape that she knew about it a year ago.
Yeah.
So she's offended by a question which she had to admit she knew about.
She didn't
she's
even
offended.
Answer my question.
She's offended being a proven liar.
Right. Instead of just saying, you know what, you're right, I lied, or this is what I knew and when I knew it, it's my fault for asking the question. Do you see what dictators do there? They scream at you. They use you as a punching bag because they don't like the question. Because you know what? The answer will make them look bad, because if they actually tell the truth, we'll all for sure 100% know that they're lying. See how this works?
She's a woman in a man's suit. You're shocked she's a liar?
John on the south side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning, Amy. You know, she knew all about the tape. She was in charge of COPA. She wasn't the mayor, no, but she was in charge of COPA when this event happened. So she saw that tape and knew about the tape. But nobody saying nothing about that.
That's an important
part. Well,
she was in charge of COPA. She wasn't the mayor. She was in charge of COPA.
Yeah, she was with Rahm Emanuel, and she didn't like the way Rahm Emanuel was doing his job, so then she decided, you know what, I'm going to run for mayor.
She was not the mayor when this woman.
No, she was not mayor, but she was in charge of COPA when this video came down. So,
good thing Democrats have no standards, otherwise this would be a scandal.
Exactly. So you really don't think this is it for her?
Nothing. Are you crazy? All she's got to do is give more cheese. Haven't you learned? I mean, what do you guys need? You need a little more cheese? This girl will go away if you get the attorneys to write a big enough check. And then you give district, and then you make the cops go to 4 more hours of training, and you do da-da-da-da-da. And here's the other thing. We're going to give free rides now. If you're from this neighborhood, we'll give you free rides. What do you don't want to take the train? Me either. We'll do the Uber. We'll do whatever you want. And they just give it away. And for $600, the entire country just sold its dignity to turn a blind eye. So it's just a matter of money. Now that we've established what you are, we're just negotiating the cost.
And are you familiar with Alderman Chris Taliaferro?
I try not to waste my brain power on these 50 thieves.
He and Alderman Jason Irwin are pretty big in the African American community.
Sure.
So if they turned against,
not as big as Mel.
Well, if they turned against, oh no, he's yesterday's news. He's
sure
white,
he
white toast, white noise.
Sure.
If they turned against Mayor Lightfoot, she would be really, really screwed. Like already looking for another job. But today at City Council, they're going to have are you ready for this? Top to bottom review. Beginning today,
she's 4 foot
what
two.
Happened.
It'll take you 6 minutes.
I know, and they're also checking into what happened with COPA.
At the COPA Cabana, the hottest spot north of Havana.
That's my favorite bureaucracy, the COPA.
COPA Cabana, music and passion were always the fashion at the COPA.
That ain't even the same. Look at
they
that.
Fell in love.
I don't know who told you were good at this singing, but it really destroyed a lot of careers. But here's the other thing you got to remember. When this COPA came out, it was my favorite. You know how many times I hit the brake for these phony security guards driving around in their imitation cars?
Yeah.
Very upsetting about COPA. They're good for absolutely nothing, except I think they're the ones that actually bring the donuts to the real police.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong.
Maureen on the South Side, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Amy. I have a question for you, or actually the next time you're in conference or with Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
She fired Eddie Johnson because he lied to her. correct?
Oh, good point. Yes, he lied about taking a little whiskey nap in his car there. Yeah.
Yes. And so she lies how often, and nothing happens to her.
No, you know what, Maureen? That is a very good point.
That's why Proft rightfully calls her the triple threat. She's got the three shields of protection. She's not going anywhere. She's the perfect social engineered tyrant. And she even gets to pretend she's a fella. And then when she gets caught, she cries. Then she's Susan Lucci.
She goes out to dinner with her black girlfriends. I mean, can you placate to the African American community anymore? If I was African American, I heard her say that. Are you kidding me? Do I say I went out with my white girlfriends, or I went out with my Hispanic girlfriends last night, or I went out with my Jewish girlfriends last night? Come on.
I know.
It's so disappointing.
You don't have any of those.
Exactly.
Thanks, Maureen, for the phone call. Let's go to John in Lincolnwood. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Amy and Sean. I just wanted to call in and say, you know what, I really appreciate somebody like you asking her the lightweight that question, because her spin on it just shows you what kind of person she is, which is just a miserable, just dictator. Unbelievable that she wouldn't even answer the question. You know what, people in Chicago, and I know this, if she would have just said, yes, I did know about it, yes, I was wrong, yes, I think people would just forgive her and say, okay, yeah, you know what, she screwed up, most politicians screwed up, but you know what, her arrogance and her just unbelievable, but I'm so glad at least you asked that question.
You've offended me. You know, too bad.
You know what John kind of reminds me of, too, though?
Thanks, John, for calling.
You have to understand, there's a 50% and basically all Chicagoans who feel the exact opposite of what John said. They hate people who are questioning her more than any answer she could give.
Oh, I get a lot of hate mail.
So, you know, these are the irreconcilable differences. Why I say, let these low-life, pseudo-intellectual, socialist engineers amongst themselves. How's it going? You run the city. How's the city doing? Everybody either wants to leave or is leaving. And now you're starting to lose the one district. There's only one district that makes money in Chicago. One.
Which one is that?
Downtown.
Well, I don't think they're making money right now.
That's the only one that
actually
produces
money. They're not making money right now. It's all
money.
Boarded up. It looks like a third world country.
And that's why it's over.
Yeah, that's true.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here.
On AM 560.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny F***ing K.
The Answer.
Gird your loins for this one. Not really a Christmas story or a happy one, but John Wayne Bobbitt, remember him? Back in 1993,
the ladies' man.
Then wife claimed that he raped her, and so then she went to the kitchen to get a drink of water, and she came back with an 8-inch carving knife and cut it off. Pulled back the bed sheets and cut off his penis.
His mother probably warned him.
She then decided to get in the car, and she drove around for a while, driving with one hand while her other hand was holding the appendage. And then she decided to throw it out the window, and she felt guilty. She pulled over, called 911, told him what happened. They were able, after an exhaustive search, Sean, they were able to find the penis. In a field, and they performed. They put it in saline
Wouldn't you like to have a camera on that search? I got it, Al. Bring it over.
Hey, come on. Bring the ice box. I got to put it on ice. Yeah. So they put it on ice, took it to the hospital. 9.5-hour surgery to put this thing back on. He didn't
flatline.
Would
you want it back? I don't know if I'd want it back after everything it's been through.
But he said it works fine. And he went on to make two
pornos.
What else
is he going to say? I was just in a tavern last night with a bunch of 80-year-olds. They said the same thing. Yeah, no, it's fine.
He was in two pornos. I didn't see them, but I mean, something's got to work, right? If you're going to be
doing that.
Joe Biden's
works fine too, I bet. Sure. Everything
so
works.
Now we're learning that two more appendages have bit the dust, so to speak. His big toe had a callus that was formed and it became infected, spread to the bone. And he had to get his big toe removed. That was a few months ago.
This guy's falling apart.
And then that led to the next little piggy getting chopped off because since the right toe was amputated, he put too much pressure on the backup toe or the toe that's right next to the big toe. And that had to be amputated as well.
I'm pretty sure all those injuries will give you a limp.
I don't know. So we'll see what happens. He suffers from neuropathy. So he didn't know the toe was fractured until he went to a doctor
too?
For a checkup. Yeah. So the doctor noticed a problem right away and recommended the amputation.
This guy gets a check every month, probably for each one of those ailments.
John says he's been released from the hospital yet again, and now he's got a bandage on his right foot and special shoes so he can walk. And he tells TMZ that he also uses a knee scooter to get around.
That's attractive. Uh-huh. Well, the good thing, because all those ailments will make sure he never needs the thing that got cut off in the first place. It'll be great.
Exactly.
It's got to be hard to pick up chicks on a little rascal.
Ooh. Come on over here. You want to ride?
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning. It's the eve before the eve of Christmas Eve. See what I did there? Tuesday. Awesome. Amy Jacobson here, Sean from Elmwood Park, and for Dan Prof today. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know, Illinois, we're second only to California, and that's in weekly job loss claims. 142,700 new filers last week. That's according to the U.S. Department of Labor, which shows Illinois now second only to California because Pritzker took away all of our jobs. He took away in-person dining and the bars, and it's really affecting a lot of Illinoisans to the tune of 130,000 Illinoisans work in the bar and restaurant industry, which they are furloughed or some have been told, you know, hopefully we'll hire you back when things get back to normal. With a first-hand account of all this is Eric Bayless. He is the owner and operator of Big Onion Hospitality, and he had to close 8 restaurants. And it was not easy. I met Eric. Good morning, Eric, by the way, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. So I met you a few Saturdays ago when we did a Reopen Illinois rally for schools and for restaurants and bars. And you really, I mean, can you repeat the story that you told us all about how you had to lay off these employees that are like family to you?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people are not looking at kind of the big picture, if you will. I mean, the toughest day of my life, not only my professional career, my life was laying off the people that helped me build a company. And I mean, I cannot even explain in words, really, of how difficult that was. I mean, I consider them friends, family, and the people that helped me build the company, and all of a sudden I had no answers for them. And that's kind of what I explained when I met you. The biggest difficulty is that we have no answers. And I mean, I can't even put it into words the feeling that I had when I stood in front of 500-plus employees and told them that, unfortunately, they have to go to the unemployment line.
Well, did you lay them off the first time and then bring everybody back and then have to go through this a second time, or how did it work?
So I laid off over 500 people, and then I brought back about 190, and now I'm left with about 70.
Oh, God.
So I never was able to fully open. We're never able to get back to the normalcy because of all the rules, if you will.
So, Eric, the hardest thing I think for business owners of all kinds, and especially people like you who take the biggest chance, and you do it for a reward, but you also do it because you love the product you produce. I think the hardest pill to swallow is the realization in 2020 that you really don't own your business, that it's really kind of mandated and dictated by strangers who have never sweat or worried or took the risks you took. And at the end of the day, when the cure is two things, they're going to tell you now the new minimum wage is going to be federally mandated at $15, as you knew Illinois was. And they tell you that the way in which you're going to operate is to take more debt. My question, I came to my realization, I'm curious to know what yours is. Is it even worth it to do it anymore?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I got emotional a couple of days ago being in one of my empty restaurants. I mean, living the American dream, that's what I was doing. I came from nothing and I worked my butt off and just put my head down. And next thing you know, I had a beautiful business surrounded by beautiful people. And all of a sudden, just like you said, people that have no idea how hard that I worked personally just took it away. And to answer your question, is it worth it? I refuse to lose, you know. I mean, first they give me one rule that makes no sense, and I deal with it. They give me another one, I deal with it. They give me another one, I deal with it. Us as entrepreneurs, us as the restaurant industry in all, we're the only ones that could have dealt with what they've handed us so far. I truly believe that.
Would this...
I mean, if you told the airline industry that they had to do X, Y, and Z like they did to us, they would not have figured out ways to do it. So but to answer your question,
yeah, but
I want to give up every day, but I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to let them win.
Well, how many? So you had to close 8 restaurants. What were the names of some of these restaurants?
Irish Oak, which has been a staple in Wrigleyville for a long time. Fat Poor, Tap Works, which is over in Wicker Park. And then another Fat Poor in the South Loop. Center Street Kitchen in Lincoln Park. I had to close Diag a little bit ago. Brunch, which was probably one of the best breakfast places in the city. I closed for good. Then I had Woody's over there in Old Town. And then lost 644. So,
you know, Eric, you said something that's very important. The airlines, if the airlines were to do this, they could never handle what you handle. And the funny thing is, what I'm realizing is they're too big to borrow. Where the answer for you is to borrow. The answer for these scoundrels is to get a grant. And I think that I understand, believe me, nobody likes to fight a losing fight more than me. But ultimately, aren't you going to have to take these restaurants in these beautiful areas where you've been inundated with taxes? I mean, people don't realize the taxes the restaurant industry faced just 6 months before they shut you down, where there's new delivery fees, there's new dine-in taxes. Oh,
there's a new restaurant tax that takes effect January 4th.
Correct.
No one's going to be able to pay that.
Aren't you going to have to do what I did and go to high ground and leave the sewer of Chicago? At least for your own sake, if you go to a better state.
I think about it every day. I speak with operators in every other city, and that's what hurts me more than anything, is that they've made me almost the enemy. Where I try to tell people this, I try to explain it, I try to tell them what is really going on, and it seems like, I mean, no one seems to care, you know? Like, if they really, how could anyone do this to me? What is the American dream? I mean, that's what makes our country great. We teach our kids, don't treat others the way you want to be treated. We teach our kids, no matter what, make sure you tell the truth. Make sure that you always give your best. Well, if you do that right now, then what's going to happen? You're the enemy. That's me.
Right. And what would you say to Governor Pritzker if he's listening right now? Because the data and the science that I'm looking at shows the spread in nursing homes in DuPage County, 77%. Of the recent, you know, surge that we had at the beginning of November was in nursing home and long-term care facilities. Restaurants were, I think, at 1.4. Gyms were less than 1%. And he shut restaurants and bars down for in-person dining, and gyms he stopped, you know, group classes, which makes absolutely no sense.
I would say the same thing that I've already, I mean, I've called his office probably more times than anyone. I spoke to him. Finally, once through someone else, I mean, I emailed everything. I would ask, show us the, quote, science. I mean, I've even Googled that word multiple times because I'm like, maybe it's me that doesn't get it. Show us the numbers. If that's the case, show us the numbers, and they can't.
Right, because the numbers aren't there, and they have these contact tracers. Well, yes, they'll call up somebody who might be exposed and say, where have you been? And they'll say, well, I went to this restaurant. But you know what? That person also went to the bank. That person also went to the grocery store. That person also went to church. We don't know where you get it from.
Correct.
So what did Pritzker say when you talked to him? What was your conversation?
There's never been, I mean, from the local level to the mayor to up to the state level, it's just the biggest issue that I have. It's just here are the rules. They change every day. But the biggest problem is I have is, one, they're not even following their own rules. I mean, people take that a little bit too lightly to me. If they're so concerned and this is what they feel, then why aren't they not following the rules?
Now, Eric, I don't get a lot of questions on these interviews, so I'm going to cut to the chase. I mean, normally I like blondes with this much energy in the morning, but I would like to get this out. All right, so here's the deal. You make sure you leave my name when you open your speakeasy because you're going to have to go illegal. That's where the future is, and I want to get in. Occasionally. So Sean Thompson, Sean from Elmwood Park, leave my name. And then when you make the right decision, because I'm down here right now for two restaurateurs I know who are leaving Chicago, Illinois. I'm down here right now looking for restaurants. You come down here, brother. We're going to build a nice little community of people who understand freedom and principles and understand that the American freedom and talk, it's a talking point, not a principle in the year 2021. So you come with me and then you let me in because, you know, I'll bring you entertainment. It'll be fun.
Awesome, man. Got me fired up. And the deal, like I said, if there's anyone that doesn't believe what we're saying, is there anyone on the other side? Spend a damn day with me. Spend a day with me waking up. I mean, you see how fired up I am. I'm in tears. And every day I wake up earlier than most. Spend a day with me, and then you tell me that we're the enemy. Then you tell me that they're doing the right thing. I just don't understand.
That's so funny that you said that, because I think that all the time. I want Pritzker and Lightfoot to spend a day with me and see what they're doing to our children. And then I had like a little speakeasy volleyball camp, and those kids were desperate. They're like, can you please help us? We want to get back to school. We want anything. I mean, this is what the reality is. And they have no idea what they're doing to us. Like, Lori Lightfoot was crying over the Anjanette Young video, and it was awful what happened to her. But what happened to her is what she's doing to our kids every single day by keeping them out of school and sports, because high schoolers aren't even part of this reopening plan that's going to happen in February. They're the bottom of the barrel. They don't care. They gave up on them. Sorry, I had to vent, Eric. All right, no, Eric.
I have two small kids, too, and I couldn't agree more. And the biggest thing is, look at the results. Look at the places that closed down. What's happening? Look at the results. Look at the final game. Don't look at the first quarter, one little play. Look at the results.
Yep.
It shows a clear story. It's so frustrating. I think we're better than this.
You come by me, Eric.
Things are better than this.
Eric and Sean, I think you guys are going to have a great relationship.
You come by me, runtoflorida.com. You can get my contact information, because what you got to understand is you are the enemy. The policies are of restraint and extortion, not opening up to people like us. They could care less about you or the people that work for you. You got to realize that, brother.
Yeah, no, I know. I do realize it. I just don't want it to be true. But
all right, runtoflorida.com.
All right, thanks, Eric Bayless, Big Onion Hospitality. We'll be praying for you and keep up the fight, okay?
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
I like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Sean, Eric Bayless, he still breaks my heart. I mean, that is real life. That is what is happening, folks. That's why I wanted him on the station, so that people could hear what life is really like for restaurant and bar owners.
And the people like us, who really are the ones that make the world go around, have to realize we are the enemy of the state now. We are the ones. Their policies are not of building anyone up. They're all about tearing everyone down who doesn't conform, who doesn't capitulate, who doesn't understand. You think you own things. You own nothing. The Pritzkers, the Lightfoots, the scoundrels and scumbags own it all. And they just need a little rule, a little leverage to prove it to you. And if the hardest part to do is to realize that, because we all have that Eric Bayless in us where we want to fight back. And you can, but you have to be smart about it. The problem with us is that our inherent personality is to be individual. So we're not good at putting groups together. We're not good at cheerleading as a few collective make decisions for everybody. So
I just wish
you
would open up one of them. I mean, just, you know, because everybody's got a speakeasy, right? Hey, what year is
it's
this?
It's not
what
worth it to open up, because the fine that they'll give him, both the fine and the potential jail time, will be 1,000 times more than they did those kids that ran in and cleaned out Neiman Marcus. So it's not worth it. He's got too much to lose. He's got kids.
They can get away with stealing and taking whatever they want, but God forbid if you try to make a living in Illinois.
Listen, you've got to realize
33 states don't live like this, folks. Oh, I'm sorry.
Smarter,
it's 34.
Smarter, not harder.
Tom in Oswego, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy and Sean. I tell you, that story breaks my heart. I'm a businessman, small businessman, 32 years. I've never seen an economic situation like this in my time. Amy, you said that politicians don't understand what they're doing. And then Sean chimed in and said, they understand exactly what they're doing. I agree. They know exactly what they're doing. I liken this whole economy to the Titanic, the iceberg. They can only see the tip, because once we hit that iceberg, we're going down fast.
Do you remember?
I think we already hit the iceberg.
Do you remember last year when they were talking about doing this? Both myself, Prof, there were a couple other guys. You can't turn it off and turn it on. It's not an electric.
Exactly.
It's not a light. You can't do that. And you cannot,
Sean,
here's the problem, you cannot fake the success of it with printed money. That is the road to disaster.
No, Sean, when I heard that they're giving out this stimulus, I don't get any of that. It just infuriates me even more that they're giving $600 per person. What is that going to do?
Not much.
You need to turn the engine on that drives everything. This is coming to a halt
and
pretty quick.
All right, thanks, Tom, for the phone call.
Here's how you know the scum accounting of a socialist Democrat. They focus on revenue, and they think that the revenue from the money they print is real. It's a lie. It's taking money from your right pocket, putting it in your left, pretending you made money that day. It's a lie.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Good morning. Today, December 22nd. Tomorrow, Bill Barr officially resigns as the Attorney General of the United States. Yesterday, he came out and, wow, I didn't see this coming.
Did he? I had my suspicions.
He said at his final news conference that there's no need for a prosecutor to oversee the investigation of one Hunter Biden.
I have not seen a reason to appoint a special counsel, and I have no plan to do so before I leave.
And then, as... It was very humble, very quiet, very, you know. Very
he's a Bush reserved. Guy. I never bought it.
Guy. And he said there's no need to look at the elections because there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
Do you believe there's enough evidence to warrant appointing a special counsel to look into it? Something that he appears to be thinking about, perhaps Sidney Powell. Do you believe that there is any reason to do that? Have you already given your opinion on this to the president and the White House?
As you said, I've already commented on fraud. Let me just say that, you know, there are fraud in unfortunately, in most elections. I think we're too tolerant of it. And
acceptable
I'm sure there was fraud.
Fraud
in this election. But I was commenting on the extent to which we had looked at suggestions or allegations of systemic or broad-based fraud that would affect the outcome of the election. And I already spoke to that, and I stand by that statement.
But about the idea of appointing a special counsel, would you answer a question about whether you believe there's enough there, even with what you've already said, do you believe there's enough evidence to warrant a special counsel to investigate that, perhaps Sidney Powell or someone else?
Well, if I thought a special counsel at this stage was the right tool and was appropriate, I would name one, but I haven't, and I'm not going to.
So what is up with Bill Barr? Let's welcome back to the program Scott McKay. He's publisher at The Hayride and contributor to American Spectator. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Good. So what did you make of Attorney General Bill Barr's last press conference? Going
well,
out with a bang then, huh?
I can't remember what they call those big Afghan dogs that are like 150 pounds and like super scary and can basically tear a man limb from limb if they really wanted to.
Wolfhound.
I always thought that Bill Barr was That's right. I always thought that Bill Barr was kind of like one of those. But at the end of the day, he might be one of those, but he just likes to sit on the porch. You know, like he just, you know, like the guys can come in and they can open the door and take all the stuff out of the house. And he's just the dog sitting on the porch looking at him. And so, oh, hey, guys, that's basically Bill Barr. You know, you think
even,
he's something and then he just doesn't do anything.
Isn't it even a little worse? Because what he's basically saying is there's only been the acceptable amount of fraud that we're used to. This is something that drives
yeah.
me insane.
I mean, this is my thing. Does this guy not realize that the perception of the Department of Justice is that they do anything but justice? You know, like, I mean, how do you have Scooter Libby and then the same people like, oh, we're not going to investigate Hunter Biden with a special, you know, a special counsel? I mean, you do realize that Hunter Biden's dad's going to be president, and he will not be prosecuted for that.
Oh, no. I mean, he even said he's not even bringing up the subject of his son with AG candidates, not touching it.
Right. I mean, I, like, So, in other words, you didn't do anything to Hillary Clinton for all the stuff that Hillary Clinton did. You didn't do anything to, you know, the Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes cabal that you know, set up FISAgate on it. And you're not going to do anything with Hunter Biden. You're not going to do anything with the election. Well, what will you do? I mean, like, you know, what if, like, everybody in the country said, well, these guys don't prosecute anything, so we're not going to pay our taxes and we're not going to do, you know, whatever. I mean, I guarantee you, if you're just a regular, ordinary American and you decide you're not going to follow the law anymore, all of a sudden DOJ wakes up and realizes who you are. You just got to be connected and a Democrat, and there's no law that applies to you.
All right, what about this?
That's what everybody's perception is, and he's done nothing about that. It amazes me.
And Sidney Powell was back at the White House again yesterday for the third time in 4 days, and we heard that over the weekend General Flynn was suggesting to President Trump, you know, hey, overturn the election by declaring martial law and bringing in the military to set up new elections in those battleground states that the president lost. Is that option even on the table?
Or is that dreaming?
I'm
going to lean on dreaming. I mean, the whole kind of Sidney Powell Linwood thing is
so goofy.
Really interesting. Okay, like really interesting. But the best I can say about all of that is that that information has not been managed all that well. I mean, to make charges like they've made, they really needed to come out with ironclad proof. And I know they've got a bunch of you know, affidavits from people, and you know, I'm not discounting what they're saying, but when you got something that explosive, you're really going to have to beat people over the head with the evidence, and they haven't. Now, it could be this stuff is so inflammatory and incendiary that, you know, you got to manage it, build some expectations, and then dump it all at once. But, I mean, it's almost Christmas. So I don't know. I mean, I can't say what they have, and so maybe I can't judge how they've managed it. But but the thing is, you don't need Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, right? You have enough old fashioned fraud in, you know, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. You have enough of that to throw these elections in doubt before you even get to Dominion.
Or it could be what you originally said. It's the tale of two Americas. It's different standards. It's different standards, right? We do this. We're guilty. We live in the sewer of Illinois. It's different standards. We have the low expectation, the bigotry of low expectations. Well, of course they're going to cheat. They're Democrats. Of course they're going to lie.
Right.
They're Democrats. Of course they're not going to prosecute themselves for collaborating with enemies of the country for hundreds of millions of dollars. They're Democrats. So in this instance, what you hear is a common denominator. There has only been an acceptable level of cheating. It has not exceeded what our opinion, what the very few who make decisions, it has not exceeded what our level of tolerance is. And that's when you realize that the system itself that you turn to as a shield against atrocities of your rights has been bastardized. So to me, you know, it's time to start moving. You know, it's not about Florida anymore. It's about offshore. I mean, I was sitting in a place with some very reasonable, very well-to-do guys. They're extremely nervous because the country has adopted this ideology of restraint and extortion rather than freedom and liberty. And it's a problem, I think. I'm curious to know if you agree.
Oh, well, there's no doubt there's a problem. I do still go by one of the things that Charles Krauthammer used to say, which is that which can't continue won't continue. And if, you know, if this thing does become a Biden presidency, which, you know, at this point, that is kind of the trajectory of it. That doesn't like end this controversy. It only begins it because you're seeing what Biden's people, whose people are, and you're seeing what he's going to do as president. And I can tell you, that's not, I mean, like,
in Obama's administration. Yeah, it's a redo.
It's a bunch of Obama retreads and a bunch of people who, you know, he's running around talking about unity, and he's appointing Jennifer Granholm and Neera Tanden and all these people who went absolutely nuts with the Trump-Russia stuff for the last 4 years. I mean, they went nuts. And now he's talking about unity. So in other words, Once again, it's a double standard. You can get absolutely as weird as you want on the Democrat side, and nobody will even, give that a second thought. But boy, those Republicans better not say the election was stolen. But the point is like, okay, what happens when Joe Biden says, okay, we're not going to have any more, not just fracking, but any oil drilling on federal lands, shuts down the state of New Mexico's economy in the, Permian Basin, refuses to permit any oil pipelines, and essentially kills 10 million energy jobs. All of those people have guns. All those people hunt. Okay. What are you going to do with those people? You say, okay, we just destroyed your livelihood, and it was done by somebody you think stole a presidential election and broke the republic. So, but by the way, you better not do anything we don't like.
So, Scott,
what happens then?
Well, first of all, the Civil War and that kind of thing that we're alluding to didn't start because citizens were angry. It started because people of character, legislators, to a certain extent, resisted the tyranny being dictated by Washington. Now, we want to wrap all of that in slavery. That's a component, but not, ironically, not the main catalyst, right? It was originally started 32 years prior with the tariffs of abomination when they put a 200% tariff on blankets for the South, right? That's when, so it was an ideological resistance to dictate and tyranny. That's how it started. So, but it started from that core group of people back then who were in positions of power who understood what the concept of America was. We do not have that when the Republican Party parrots what the Democrat Party says. So when Bill Barr comes out and says it was just the acceptable amount of cheating, game over. The entire representative republic has been bastardized by the corporatist scum, political whores we pretend represent us.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. But again, I don't think that'll hold either. When you have a negative effect of the policies that emanate from a usurper president, which, let's face it, when you steal an election, that's what you are. Everything that Biden does that carries a negative outcome, which is going to be just about everything Biden does, is going to only fuel this fire. And, you're going to get to the point where states are going to say, nope, we're not abiding by that decision, right? And then, you're going to go from one constitutional crisis to the next. And then, that's how things spin out of control. That's how you get the centrifugal forces that cause, a civil strife at least, and, if not something more than that. Then you bring the China equation into the mix, which... I don't know about you guys, but everything smells like China to me right now.
Yep.
Everything.
And I want them to pay for what they did to us and did to our children.
Oh.
I mean, we are the dumb generation. So now their kids who've been in school and learning and succeeding are going to come and take our university slots.
Well, they've already taken our universities. Go look at how many Confucius Institutes they've got across the country.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. Hey, Scott, before we let you go, what's the latest on the Durham probe?
Yeah.
Are we going to hear anything at all? Or was that just a colossal waste of tax dollars?
I think that's more big dogs on the porch at this point. Yeah. I mean, do you see any evidence that anybody's doing anything? I mean, I don't.
Yeah. All right,
so,
Scott McCain, publisher.
Another cheery interview, Scott. Thank you for the bright spot.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Ho, ho, ho. Scott McKay, also contributor to American Spectator. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560. The Answer.
Oh, yeah. Sean, what's the name of this song?
I don't care.
What?
Don't pay attention to songs or athletes.
Keep on rolling.
I could give a rip. I don't have time for this nonsense. 5,500-page spending bill is a little annoying. I don't care who's singing.
Wow. Good morning. Merry Christmas, Bah Humbug. Amy Jacobson here. Sean from Elmwood Park in for Dan Prof this morning. But you played high school football, did you not?
Yeah.
And
just
what did that
to get
teach
a scholarship.
You? Did that build character?
Of course not. I had character long before anybody put a uniform on me.
Oh, so you gave character to your coach. Is that what you're
saying? Character is something that your family gives you, and you inherently, it's either stoked or it's not. It doesn't come from some dimwit coach screaming from a sideline or moron parents yelling in the bleachers.
I am a I coach, and I believe that I teach my girls and boys to be better human beings, to be good citizens, and to have sportsmanship, and to know what it's like to rip your opponent's head off, because I like winning. I don't like losing.
Yeah, let me know when one of your athletes carjacks you if it worked.
Oh, you are so rude. All right, well, I'm going to just ignore you this segment and welcome our guest to the program, who's a returning guest, Joe Trost, student-athlete advocate, has been working diligently to try and get the IHSA and the governor's office and everybody, IDPH, on the same page and trying to get kids back to school and at the very least back to playing sports. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Good. Well, Sean's not doing well, but I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm doing very well. I'm tanning in between the breaks. I'm doing better than most, but go ahead.
So, Joe, what is the latest with IHSA? And they still plan to play every sport in 2021. I don't know how that's going to happen, but what's the next step?
You know, that's their plan. You know, some good news. Last Thursday, there were some conversations that started between state officials and members of the IHSA. So, you know, obviously, everything has been basically on pause here since, you know, early October. You know, talking with some superintendents over the weekend, you know, there's a very optimistic outlook here going into 2021. Obviously, there were a number of high schools, suburban high schools, that finished out the year. You know, they had been in school, you know, for about 8 straight weeks, no issues. You know, so as one superintendent said to me, it's really a 30, 60, 90-day outlook here. It's hopefully the first 30 days to come back, there aren't any surges. And at that point, that's when you're really going to start to see even more people question, you know, the medical and science behind keeping kids off the field, out of classrooms. The biggest hurdle that superintendents see that really IDPH, Jesse Ruiz, you know, and, you know, the governor's office, they need to pull back this, you know, this rule that they have in place where you can only have 50 kids in an area. Because what they, you know, what a lot of these superintendents are saying is it just really handcuffs them in terms of what they can and can't do. You know, so if that's pulled back, open some things up, you know, and obviously everybody wants to get kids back on the field. First things first, you know, hopefully it's right after break here. You know, kids are back in school and, you know, starting to move in a positive direction.
Well, so what? Go, Sean.
I got a question for you. You know, a lot of this reminds me of the drunk driver that blames the light pole for the accident. Isn't this something that we've kind of backed ourselves into, when the reality is we turned over how our children behave, how our activities are scheduled, to a bureaucracy made of fat, necklace slobs who are on the take?
I don't know if I'd go that far. So I'm very in the middle on this. It's the way that I would look at this is you basically, it's obviously you got three parties there. Remember, the IHSA does not exist if there's no sports. There's a huge money piece here for the IHSA. Obviously, they're going to apply for the second PPP. They'll be taken care of there. You know, you've got that. Obviously, you got the big political piece. You know, that's what I've been saying about the kids. The kids are kind of stuck in the middle here between two divorced parents, you know, and arguing back and forth on what can be done. The IHSA, you know, as much as they want to go out there and talk about being an advocate, you know, for student athletes, there is a massive revenue piece here, and it is basketball and football. Without basketball and football, they do not exist. There's sponsorship pieces. There's everything, you know, from that. And that's where superintendents are furious at the IHSA, because they felt like that they threw them out there as a sacrificial lamb with some of this stuff, because the unique thing about the IHSA's makeup is that on their board of directors, there are no superintendents. So some of these decisions that were made have put the schools in a tough spot all the way from a political standpoint. But, so at the end of the day here, we have to, you know, we have to be able to open things up for these kids, because if you look at the bordering states, they're all going there. There aren't massive breakouts. And that's one big piece that you really could go back to May, where you could look throughout the country. Yes, there have been, you know, small breakouts here and there, but
nobody's hospitalized.
Exactly.
No hospitalizations and no reported cases of player to coach transmission from what I've seen. And it's not just bordering states. It's 33 states that have this. So let's walk this back. So the IHSA said that they were, you know, regardless of what Pritzker said, they were going to play basketball in the winter. So where does that stand now?
So it's right now that's, you know, they need to finalize this piece with really Jesse Ruiz and IDPH to figure out what they can and can't do. There should be some more conversations that'll continue here after the holiday. What I anticipate happening here is probably you're going to look the middle of January where you'll see that kids will be able to start conditioning again with their high school teams and things will start fully moving February 1st. That puts the IHSA in a position here where they need to figure out what they're going to do with basketball. Are they going to try to jam basketball in as those other sports, right, that are supposed to kick off February 15th, football, all the fall sports got pushed forward. You're not going to have the indoor facilities. So now, again, this is where I keep going back to. The school superintendents are sitting there saying, you're throwing us under a bus because we're the ones that have to deal with all these issues.
Isn't this an opportunity to privatize all of this? Isn't this an opportunity to finally break the monopoly of the bureaucracy?
Yes, well, and that's, again, going back to, it's, you know, a conversation I had this weekend. That's the fear here is that this is actually going to push more kids into private sports, into clubs year-round. And really lose that big, you know, that big community around, you know, high school sports. Obviously, you know, especially when you look in the low-income neighborhoods, these kids rely on this for exposure opportunities, for recruiting opportunities. They don't have the extra money to go to these major clubs. They don't have the transportation piece to get to these other states to be seen. So there's a lot of different, it's been fascinating. And real quick, let's go back to the fall when the Let Us Play stuff was going on. That was at 3%. 8 states had switched. Things had been moving. That was the opportunity there to go ahead and move some of the sports, which would open up this logjam that they're about to have in February. And that was something I was continuing trying to get out there, you know, from a message standpoint, is that you're going to be jamming everybody here. And not only that, you're going to be starting sports February 15th, trying to force stuff outside. Kids are going to have physical injuries, and who's going to take care of that stuff?
I can't coach 6 teams. I mean, I can't. I can't. There's just because a lot of the coaches in the fall coach winter sports and spring sports, and it's not going to happen. Now, I had heard that Jesse Ruiz regretted not playing football, or at least boys soccer outside and girls volleyball. Is there any truth to that?
That I'm not positive on. I'm sure it's right. It's easy to second guess everything. It's, you know, the one thing. You know, I would much rather be a first guesser because we can all look back and we've all learned a lot since, you know, even last May. There was definitely an opportunity to play boys soccer. There was definitely an opportunity to play girls volleyball. You know, one of the biggest questions was, could you play in the early December? Well, we all saw the weather in early December, and the weather in December is better than starting February 15th on frozen fields where you don't, and you have to remember CPS at probably 90% of their schools, they do not have athletic trainers. So now you've got coaches who may not, you know, from a standpoint, who don't have the medical background when a kid's hurt. There's going to be fascinating stories to happen over the next 3 months. And yeah, there's going to be some, it's a very emotional topic with parents. And that's where it's, you know, especially if a kid is out there and somebody gets hurt, you know, that's where there's going to be, you know, even more finger pointing.
Well, as a CPS, just so you know, I had to go through extensive medical training. No, because, well, we do have a trainer, thank God, but they still make you go through the training. You've got to pass the test because it's just because of that fact. So what is the next step?
So the next step is, you know, again, Jesse Ruiz, IDPH, Dr. Ezeki, and the IHSA, it's coming to an agreement on what they feel is safe to move forward.
That's never going to happen.
It's so ridiculous.
I mean, oh,
you know,
it's like herding cats, you know, when are they going to sit down and actually do the work?
Well, and that's, you know, there was a good step taken last Thursday. Obviously there had been some broken communication channels after the IHSA decided to go one direction and go against, you know, the recommendation of IDPH. We saw this happen in other states, right? It happened in Michigan. It happened in Pennsylvania. In this case, unfortunately, where the IHSA screwed up, and really the IHSA from a strategic standpoint did not do it right. They didn't line up a press conference with superintendents standing behind them. They went out there and they blindsided a lot of the superintendents. And where you had a divide in the state was the downstate schools, central and southern Illinois, who may not be able to get to the bordering states with club sports. They backed the IHSA. The big high school areas. We're in the Chicago suburbs and Chicago. You lost CPS right away and you lost a lot of the suburban schools and you have this massive disconnect. And that goes right back to the strategic opportunity that the IHSA had in the fall If there was an opportunity to do it, they should have did that in the fall, but they waited till the revenue piece of basketball, which made him look even worse.
I remember a time when a kid got woke up, went outside, played strike 'em out. Around lunchtime, you'd play a pickup game. Around the afternoon, you'd play a little touch football, and then you stop by Mr. Fornarelli's house to get punched in the face in his boxing ring in the garage. And you know what? We didn't give a rip what any two-bit politician, or for that matter, what any of the other parents thought. I remember a time when kids weren't slaves to the state. What this has done is built slaves. Kids are now asking if it's okay to get together and play sports. Over. Put a fork in it.
Well, you have to remember from a school standpoint, again, going back to, I keep talking about this divide. It's the state controls the funding for the schools. And that's, you know, and there's a lot of politics that goes into that. So that's the challenge there. Again, you've got the key pieces, state government, IHSA, state superintendents, and here are the kids on the sidelines looking at all the adults and say, can't you figure this out? And it's now going on 6 months here. Obviously, the mitigations have worked. We've seen the numbers go down. So hopefully here, after the first of the year, there's some positive news and, you know, these kids get back out there. I think the one final thing I would say here, you know, while it is going to be interesting to see how everything gets jammed in here, you know, you got to be able to praise the IHSA and the school superintendents from this standpoint is that they haven't said that they're going to cancel anything. So there's still opportunities for these kids. Unfortunately, they're probably going to drag into the summer.
Great. All right. Thanks, Joe. No, I appreciate your expertise.
Can I parlay any of this? Can I bet against any of this?
No. All right, Joe.
It's trust. Yeah, it's a moving target, right? And hopefully, it's, you know, this fluid situation comes to an end, and in a month here, we're focusing on what we should be: the kids back out on the courts, back out on the fields.
All right, thanks, Joe Trost, student athlete advocate, good friend of the show. Thank you so much for your expertise and your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Guys, have a good holiday.
Thanks, you too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, Sean, I got an email. Good morning. Sean is really growing on me. However, he's not on target about the coaching comment. You are. Never think that the influence you are providing for girls and boys is not to be formative in their lives.
Just send me her measurements and her phone number. I'll take care of the rest. We'll
Dawn, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Yes, good morning. First of all, schools are publicly paid for, so one person does not have the right to make a decision to close the schools. If that's the case, then the police and the fire should have the option to stay home. And, you know, I'm not trying to say this guy's naive, but I sent a due process letter specifically to my superintendent of schools to complain about the special ed program. Guess what? Crickets. Never heard from the guy. Okay, he sent other people to try and deal with me because I was a problem. So, you know what? It's, the whole thing's a joke. And you want to know why? Because these people, this is a bureaucracy that can never admit that something is wrong, that the decision-making isn't going very well.
No, they made the wrong decision, Dawn. That's what they did. They made the wrong decision, and they put kids' lives at risk because kids are depressed.
Imagine for a moment, if you will, a system where you were forced to pay for something you had zero influence in or zero way to express that you're unsatisfied. That is
a Soviet system.
The whole system is illegal.
Can I ask a quick question? How much money do you think the school system is saving by being shut down? Nobody ever talks about that. They're not saving a penny.
Well, in the last stimulus bill, they get $82 billion for colleges and schools. They got even more money.
What do you mean? They're not saving anything. Their costs are infinite. They're constantly spending. They don't save. This is just people that refuse to work while they get paid. Wake up. The public school system is an immoral extortion racket that makes people pay for products they don't want and can't use. It's anti-American, and we wrapped a flag around it, and now you're going to eat it like it was a cake.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Just not feeling the Christmas spirit this year. I don't know what it is. Welcome back to the show. Amy Jacobson, Sean from Elmwood Park, and our Matrix Home Solutions studio right here on AM 560 The Answer. Thank you, as always, for making us part of your morning. And I don't know if this is, I don't know what's going on here in the UK, but a second strand of COVID has the UK under new travel lockdowns. 40 countries have banned travel to the UK, but not the US. And I want you to remember this, Sean. Dr. Fauci said, we're going to keep an eye on it. We don't want to overreact. So that's why flights can still come in and out from the UK to the United States. But Governor Cuomo, not too happy about it.
If the UK believes the strain is so serious that Boris Johnson, who said the week before, we're not going to cancel Christmas, and then closed parts of the UK, it's serious, my friends.
So if he was king, he would shut it all down.
He is king, but just of New York. Now, Dr. Fauci, not only does he look like my Auntie Mary, but he's been a doctor for half a century. In fact, when he was a doctor, it was okay to prescribe Quaaludes. And his cure after that was to put a warning label, not to operate heavy equipment or drive a car. And then he thought it would be a good idea to do Valium. So Dr. Fauci knows gots on ghoul for my Melrose Park friends. He's a moron.
Dr. Fauci also thought HIV was transmitted through the air. Remember that? Through air droplets?
Yeah, government doctors.
He's been
just
around
what I need
forever. But tomorrow, today he gets vaccinated. It's vaccination day for him. Yeah. Yesterday was vaccination day for President-elect Joe Biden. Did you see that when he had the sweatshirt on and you just saw more than you needed to see?
What I want to say is we owe these folks an awful lot. The scientists and the people who put this together. The administration deserves some credit getting this off the ground with Operation Warp Speed. I also think that it's worth saying that this is great hope. I'm doing this to demonstrate that people should be prepared when it's available to take the vaccine.
It's like Cocoon 3, taking advice from these old hags.
Let's welcome back to the program Dr. Richard Bartlett, practiced medicine in Texas for 28 years and served on former Governor Perry's health care task force. Good morning, Dr. Bartlett. How are you?
Good morning. Merry Christmas to you and Sean and all the listeners. And I'm thinking, how long would it take to vaccinate everybody if everybody has to give a speech?
I know. That's true. Or put it on Instagram like AOC. AOC, 31 years old, thought she was doing the right thing by, you know, getting vaccinated to let people know, hey, I did it, so you should do it. But she's 31 years old and healthy and taking a vaccination away from someone who has been cooped up inside their house, who's healthy, but 75 or older. It just doesn't seem fair.
Sounds like you're thinking about facts and science. Stop that.
I know. I shouldn't think about that. All right. So what's going on in the UK right now? Can you explain this new strand? And it's really got a lot of people in a tizzy because here we go again. I mean, we're going to live our lives on lockdowns?
Well, the lockdown is the reaction to the problem. But, you know, the president talked about therapeutics and vaccines, and there are therapeutics. And there are things that can be done. Outpatient early treatment does make a difference for every disease. For cancer, early detection, early treatment. For heart disease, early treatment is much better for every type of infection. And we have a track record of success, but what's happening in the UK? In 2015, there were studies, there were reports of SARS-like viruses at the Wuhan lab, SARS-like viruses with the S on the end. And so that doesn't mean SARS-2. And so I'm concerned. We know that there were many strains of SARS virus that were in the labs. And we know also that there have been 243 mutations as of April. When Iceland looked at the SARS genome, they had the technology available and the resources where they were able to study and they found 243 mutations as of April. And so we know this is a rapidly mutating upper respiratory respiratory virus, kind of like the flu. The flu is a rapidly mutating respiratory virus. That's why every year we got to have a new flu vaccine, and so it's a moving target. We talked about this last time that my confidence in a vaccine being greatly successful, it would have to be a whole new thing for it to be successful because it's a moving target. I think that they say there's a new strain, whether it's Is it SARS-3? Is it SARS-4? Or is it just a mutation like we know has been documented in Iceland? It's one of those. But we have hope. This is a season of hope. And I want to give you some success stories.
Okay.
There was a lady in the hospital in Odessa, Texas, on the ventilator, 100% oxygen, high PEEP, high pressure on the ventilator. And her husband, I didn't know about her. She was in the ICU. Her husband calls me on a Thursday night and says, Dr. Bartlett, I've heard you talking about budesonide nebulizer treatments helping patients with COVID. And I need help. The doctors have told me that there's no hope. They've given the remdesivir. They've given the dexamethasone, the IV steroid. They've done everything that can be done. And they want us to pull the plug on my wife. And my wife made me promise when we went to the ER that we would do everything we could to keep her here so she can be here for our children. And I can't do that. And I told them I won't. And then he says they pushed back and said, well, we'll get a court order and we'll pull the plug.
Oh, dear Lord.
Which is insane. And then the next morning he calls me and adds me to the phone call that he's having with that doctor. I hear the doctor's voice saying, we've done everything we can do. That medicine might help early, but it won't help now. And she's going to die. And I just went off. You remember President Trump during the first debate?
Yes.
I would have embarrassed him.
Oh, really?
If he would have heard me on the phone. Because I was so irate that this guy is wanting this man to pull the plug on his wife and the mother of his children. And just making a case for it, one-sided case. And I said, is this lady terminal? And he said, no, I'd say critical. And I said, well, if someone's got 6 months to live, and would they be terminal if they had cancer and they were told they had 6 months? Yes. And she could die any minute. Is she terminal? No. And so I finally backed him into a corner, and he agreed to do budesonide. In 1 week, she's off the ventilator. In 2 weeks, she's home with her family.
Wow.
That's at late care. That's late COVID care. And it's the problem that's causing people to be in the hospital is they need oxygen because they have acute lung injury and ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome, caused by COVID. And that's why they're there. And research 2 years ago in 2018 showed that nebulized budesonide, a inexpensive steroid that's used in a nebulizer machine, a breathing machine, helps with acute respiratory distress syndrome and acute lung injury and gets people off the ventilator early. And so that was done in Saudi Arabia and Egypt on the other side of the planet. They proved it in 2018. So it helps with late care. Budesonideworks.com is a website that tells if you have a listener right now that's dealing with COVID, there's practical information there now. If they will bring that to their doctor and show their doctor the research articles and the science behind the treatment strategy, and their doctor takes care of them, that's plan A. But if their doctor won't, there's a provider tab for providers that do telemedicine and take care of people over the phone. And so we're empowering your listeners right now if they're dealing with COVID.
And it's budesonideworks.com.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Budesonideworks.com. Yeah.
I got a question for you. By the way, and you could feel free to steal this, I want to wish you a Merry Crisis and a Happy New Fear. I had COVID and I kicked its ass like it stole my car radio.
Oh, you
along
were
with
done
the 90 with the 99% of the, you know, it's 99% survival rate, 98.5, whatever
yes
it is. And now the answer, Doc, is produced by a bunch of government doctors, which I have less respect for stray dogs. I mean, I have less respect for them than I do stray dogs. Now, the problem is there's so much we don't know, but yet we're so willing to take anything that looks like an answer. We just say, give me, give me, give me. Now, I have some I don't take medicine. I haven't been to see one of you guys since Reagan was doing crossword puzzles, okay? There's something in all vaccines that really bothers me, Doc. MRC5. This bothers me because the original cell line was taken from an aborted, slaughtered baby. And it seems to be instead of getting rid of this, that they did it in the 60s, They're still using this as a denominator in all vaccines. I'm not putting that in my body.
Well, it's not fetal tissue, it's fetal cells.
I don't care.
There's a difference.
I'm not putting it in my body, Doc. Do I have the right to do that?
Yes. Right now, in the United States of America, in the USA, you have that right now. But this year has been a weird year. It's almost like they want this to be the USSA.
Yep.
And, patient rights have been trampled on over and over and over like never before in my career have I seen the patient and the patient's family not have a say in what their treatment options are, not being involved in the treatment decisions, not being told the risk and benefits. This has been a year of experiments, experimental remdesivir being the only thing that the CDC approved after the World Health Organization proved it doesn't save one life.
Ugh, so
the World Health Organization says 11,000 patients, 30 nations, 470 hospitals, and we have found that the mortality rate doesn't change with remdesivir. It doesn't save one life. And right on the heels of that, within a week, the CDC says, I think we're going to approve remdesivir use. What? That's the kind of things that have been happening in 2020. The new vaccines by Moderna and Pfizer are experimental. They're using messenger RNA platform, quote unquote, which has never been used before on humans for any other vaccine. We don't have any long-term evidence that it's safe. It is, in my mind, experimental. And they come out with new experimental medicines almost every month for this. How about the tried and true FDA-approved medicines that have been out 50 years, 70 years, 25 years for budesonide, the nebulizer treatments, antibiotics that have been approved for 20, 30 years that are safe? Our protocol is an antibiotic twice a day to protect from bacterial pneumonia and aspirin a day, coated 81 milligram aspirin to protect from heart attacks, strokes, and clots in the lungs, and the inhaled nebulized budesonide. It's saving lives from acute lung injury caused by COVID.
Well, I'll tell you.
Late disease, I told you, and early disease, too.
Yeah, I had bacterial pneumonia from wearing a dirty mask, and what they gave me at the hospital was awful. Then you came on our show. I went to budesonideworks.com. I talked to I did a Zoom conference with one of your doctors. They gave me a complete different antibiotic, and then I went on the inhaler, and within 2 days, I felt amazing. I mean, I was so tired and run down, and my lungs were just burning, and now I feel 100% better.
And I went up to another town for a seventh-grade basketball game. I got a seventh-grade son, and we spent the night there, and I didn't bring some of the protective things I'm doing, like Listerine mouthwash. Mm-hmm. Research shows out of England that Listerine mouthwash kills COVID virus. They studied it.
Well, that's what you have to do before you. Before I went to my dentist, and before she would even touch me, she goes, 1 minute, and she set a timer. She's like, swish Listerine in your mouth and gargle for 1 minute, and then I'll put you in the chair.
I have a son that's a dentist, and the dental schools, and the dentists are smarter than doctors. They're
Hold on
calling
a minute,
people
Doc.
To.
You got kid. You got one son in seventh grade, and you got one son that's a dentist?
I have six adopted kids from all over the world, and then when my wife turned 40, lightning strikes, and now I have a 12-year-old. So,
you hate money, Doc. You're going to have to keep working till they zip the bag up, kid.
Hey, one day at a time. But
yes. But what were you saying about Listerine?
Listerine, in 30 seconds, they proved that it kills COVID. And that type of the ingredients of Listerine. So it could be any Listerine-like product that kills 99.9% of the germs will kill 100% of virus on contact. Viruses are fastidious, fancy word for delicate. They don't have a cell wall like bacteria, and they're easy to kill. Yeah. And you just need to ultraviolet. Anything that would kill a bacteria will obliterate a virus. And 99% of the people under 70 years old recover from COVID. But there are people who get more severe reactions, and I think it's because they have more ACE receptors, the receptor the virus binds to and can get into the body and multiply. And if they're not treated early, they're at risk, even if they're younger. And so that's where budesonide comes in. If someone has symptoms, they should do that. But anyways, we went up to Lubbock for the basketball game. I have a friend that's 98 years old up there who wrote a book, did a book signing 4 days before we got there. He got exposed to COVID. He He gave it to me and my wife during that 24-hour period where I didn't have my mouthwash, my budesonide nose spray, and some other things I'm doing for prevention that are at the budesonideworks.com website. And so I got it. So me and my wife got it, and we recovered. And so I know more about COVID than I ever wanted to know. But I can tell you, it should not be shutting down our cities. It should not be. And the World Health Organization did a backflip several weeks ago saying they condemn government lockdowns of cities for COVID, they're opposed it after they recommended it at the beginning of the whole process. So, you know, the World Health Organization, the CDC, they're flipping on things. Sean, you got valid points. Amy, you have practical experience. We're not helpless. We're not hopeless. Budesonideworks.com is a resource that will help your listeners. If they're dealing with COVID, if they have a loved one with COVID, there's articles there that they can present to their treating doctors so that they could use it in the hospital, just like the patient I talked about that was taken off the ventilator, home with her family now.
Gosh. Well, God bless you, Dr. Richard Bartlett. And again, it's budesonideworks.com. And thank you so much for joining us and for the information. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. See you in the next Civil War.
Merry
Don't
Christmas.
Shoot me in the back.
Okay. Merry Christmas. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here.
On AM 560.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny F***ing K.
The Answer. Only the biggest stories. Only the biggest guests. And only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560. The Answer.
Sing it, Sean. Come on.
Now that's a song.
Ready?
Finally.
Took her home to my bed. Something. Do you know the rest of the words? Hello. Oh, that's so rude. These are so mean.
Amy doing yoga on the desk again.
Good morning. Amy Jacobson here and our Matrix Home Solutions studio. Sean from
this
Elmwood
is a new
Park.
Technique for
Sean
a radio
Thompson
show.
Joining us live from his empire in Naples, Florida. But thanks for coming in again.
Welcome to the Morning Answer.
Yes, thank you.
Hello.
It's new looks. Hello, hello.
Amy Jacobson.
Yes, I'm here. You can't hear me?
No, now I can.
Oh, now you can. That's good, good. All right, so who was listening was Lori Lightfoot yesterday. She came forward. This is day three of her apology tour, but now she's taking out others. She has decided, with the help of Superintendent Brown, what to do with those 12 police officers who were part of the botched raid 2 years ago.
Further, under the direction of Superintendent Brown, all the officers involved in the raid in Ms. Young's home have been taken off the street and placed on desk duty.
And John Cantanzara, FOP president, not happy because it's obvious that they're using these guys as scapegoats.
Our officers are always the first in line to be thrown under the bus. You mean to tell me nobody in the mayor's inner circle knew about that video prior to the Tuesday? Like she's claiming she didn't know either.
And they knew. I mean, she came out and said, oh, I saw it for the first time on Monday or last week. She said she saw it for the first time when she had seen it 13 months prior. So some heads rolled, head of the city council or her corporate council. He's gone. And then two other people, the PR person for that group is gone, too. But if you look at the raw footage, these police officers, yes, they were sent to the wrong address. But just listen.
We believe your story. We believe not your story, but what you're telling us. OK. We've verified it as much as we possibly could. And we acted upon it. We'll get this resolved. Unfortunately, we act on information because we're trying to make the neighborhood safe.
So how could this have happened? Let's begin there with Kevin Graham. He's former president of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police and is now spokesman for the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Good morning, Mr. Graham. How are you?
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. So we know that every year there's 2,300 raids. And yes, this has been going on since the beginning of time, that there are raids that are botched where they're given the wrong address. But do you think putting these 12 officers on desk duty, because they've been out on the streets for 2 years, you know, such a danger to the public, but now they're taking them off the streets. Is that the right thing to do?
You know, I disagree with that tactic of taking them off the street. I think that it sends a message that somehow they have done something wrong before an investigation has been complete. Based on even the audio clip that you just played. Mm-hmm. They told her that she was they had the wrong address, and they apologized. Certainly, at the earliest convenience, they covered her up. They tried to repair her door. They gave her the information to the city to try and get the door replaced at the city's cost. If you're looking for somebody who's perfect to be the police, that guy, he died 2,000 years ago. The rest of us all make mistakes. And the sooner people realize that, certainly the sooner we can try and sit down and figure out what the best way is to ensure that we have the right information when we proceed.
We now know that she saw the video a year ago. She admitted as such less than 10 days ago.
But came out and lied to us anyway.
Ultimately, Kevin, my question is this. Who got the address wrong? Is it the police that got the address wrong? Is it the warrant? Who is the one person, ultimately, one person got the address wrong? Who is it?
Well, it's my understanding, and I'm getting information third hand, so, keep that in mind. But my understanding is that it was an informant. So, obviously when the police get the information, they take it to the state's attorney's office. The state's attorney's office reviews it and then sends it to the judge for a signature. And I think what people forget is this is not something that police officers acted on their own. Right. This is a order from a judge. And so, certainly we try and I think all police officers do their very best to try and get the correct information, because we don't want to see somebody else's house hit. That could be one of our family members. My sympathy goes out to anybody who goes whose house we inadvertently go into. And so, I think that there has to be a little bit more understanding here.
But Kevin, have you ever in your lifetime ever seen a mayor's legal department go to court to stop a TV station from airing a story? And then they went after Anjanette Young's attorney for giving that tape to CBS. And they thought that they couldn't get caught. That's what bothers me so badly, the arrogance.
I don't know the whole background on that, but certainly there needs to be questions asked. I think that the police officers, I think they have worked very diligently as they said in the video, at trying to keep the community safe.
Right.
I think search warrants are a useful tool to try and keep the community safe, both in Chicago and in the metropolitan area. And I think that we should not take them away, but I think that there's a time in which people can sit down, all parties, and think about how the best way we can improve this is. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know what would be interesting, too? The idea that an informant gave the wrong address. So my brain, you got to forgive me. I grew up in a neighborhood that was full of scoundrels and skullduggery. My brain works as you know how this is going to end. This is a big check, right? I mean, we're just negotiating numbers now. And we don't even know the total millions that the city of Chicago really writes for everything from police and fire to city workers. Who knows what? They're paying everybody to shut up and go away who they harm in one fashion or another. The reality is if we have warrants that are based on informant information, there's a big opportunity there for informants to enrich their chubby aunts by just giving wrong addresses.
That's one of the reasons why before any statements should be made, before any discipline is handing out, you do a full and complete investigation on everything to find out if there are relationships between informants and houses that we hit. And that does take time. And so I encourage people to wait until an investigation has been complete before making any decisions about how you're going to proceed going forward.
And that's been a problem, people targeting celebrities. Saying my son's been kidnapped, they're at this set and such address, and, Chris Pratt lives there. It's been going on. It's pretty crazy. But I wanted to switch gears here and ask you about John Cantanzara, FOP president. He posted, wearing a police uniform, holding a Trump sign in front of his Chicago police squad car. He now stands a chance of losing his job. He could still remain president of the FOP. Is this a little bit of an overreach, especially because they're doing police contract negotiations right now?
The
timing's weird.
Certainly he has been in front of the police board, and he certainly has a right to defend himself. Whether or not the timing of it is odd or not, obviously it's been going on for a while. I never like to see any police officer lose their job, and I think he should have his chance to defend himself in front of a police board, just as any other police officer should. And so I don't know, the timing is odd, because we had been hearing rumors about this investigation for a long time. So why it's going on now, I couldn't tell you.
When you have laws that you're being ordered not to enforce, and you're uncertain as to what those laws are, be they looting and stealing or whatever the case may be, do you not have, in essence, politicians legalizing crime they like and making you, in essence, nothing more than apparatchiks of corrupt politicians if we ultimately don't have laws that we can agree on should be enforced?
Well, I think I have always said that if you don't enforce the laws, then they don't mean anything. And so if you are sending a message to people that if you don't enforce laws, then they don't apply, or they don't apply to individuals. And that's wrong. We have to have it's up to the judges to decide what punishment is meted out. It is not up to politicians. It is certainly important to bring people into the courts and let them have a fair hearing, let them have their day in court.
All right.
I have a nephew that's a Chicago sergeant. I'm really worried. He started in a gang unit. Then he was in the less desirable neighborhoods. Which alderman do I exactly have to drop off a sack of Joey to get him one of those cushy jobs at O'Hare?
Don't answer the question if you don't want to.
I think his hard work will certainly pay off in the long run. And,
you're selling me that. Okay. All right.
I think the men and women of the Chicago Police Department work extremely hard trying to protect the citizens of Chicago. And I think that his hard work will pay off.
Hey, Kevin, Graham, before we let you go, what is the latest on the Bobby Rush popcorn gate? Remember when those police officers, after what?
Right.
3 days straight of rioting, they went in there and they weren't, enjoying themselves by any means. It looked like they were taking a break from war, really. And so one guy had a half a pot of coffee and they ate a 72-cent bag of popcorn. And Mayor Lightfoot went nuts over that. Absolutely lost her mind.
Yeah, I have not heard a word on any of that. I really don't know where that investigation is. Okay. So I'm sorry.
I'll look into that. I mean, last I heard, somebody said that Bobby Rush, somebody on Bobby Rush's crew called the police to tell them to go check out the office to make sure it's fine.
Yeah, I got a quick follow-up. When you're getting yelled at by somebody in a size 38 short suit, man suit, even though it's a woman, and you're being yelled at in that fake angry voice, are you scared as she thinks you are, or do you laugh at her the way I do?
I've been a policeman for 38 years, and I don't get rattled too often, no matter who's yelling at me. I don't worry about politicians. I care about the outcome of police officers and the safety of the people in the metropolitan area of Chicago. And that's where we have to concentrate on. And as I said earlier, it isn't about yelling at politicians back and forth. It's about sitting down, trying to resolve problems to keep the people in the metropolitan area of Chicago safe.
All right. Thank you. Kevin Graham, former FOP president, now spokesman for the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday. And Sean, speaking of yelling, Mayor Lightfoot didn't like the question I asked her about, you lied this time. Did you lie again? Is there more lies coming down the road, woman?
This is from Amy Jacobson. What day did you see the botched raid video? And are there other police body cam videos you are trying to keep from the public?
Well, I have to say I'm offended by the premise of the question. It's offensive to me.
There's no cover up, certainly not by me, none that I would tolerate. So that question, Amy, is offensive.
There is a cover up. That's why you had the press conference yesterday to begin with.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Santa's coming to town.
Yeah! Oh my God!
On AM 560.
Santa here? I know him.
The Answer.
All right, quickly, let's go to Chuck in Delavan. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Chuck.
I don't have to go to drink in Illinois, but I did yesterday. Just to have one in a speakeasy, I can't tell you where it was. The password was martini, but I just thought I'd trick them. I said crystal meth, and they let me in anyway. And there was no shortage of girls in there, and I can't tell you where it was. And I'm not looking for a girl. Oh, my God, it was like shooting fish in a barrel if you wanted it. Have fun. Talk to you later.
Yeah. The problem is I've seen Chuck. I'm not too sure his fish and my fish should be in the same barrel.
No, Chuck. Well, Chuck is Santa Claus, and he doesn't need to put on a fake beard or dye the hair. He's got it all, and he's a jolly man.
Man, did I save this show today. Who do you got going on tomorrow? What do you got going on?
Well, maybe it's none of your business. Maybe I didn't want you to ask.
Oh, all right.
Oh, gee. All right. Well, did you have fun the past
I wish you had a sister down here, boy.
All right, how many homes are you showing today?
Today I've got 6 and then 3 commercial pieces, and we're doing everything from 300,000 up to all the way up.
I mean, I can tell you, I've been flying down there. Everybody on that plane is moving to Naples, Florida, or Bonita Springs. Unbelievable.
And that's what, you know, that's what has to happen, because the reality is in Illinois and in mafia states and sewers like that, we've been silenced. We mean nothing. So
even
to me, you got to go where you're loved.
Even liberal Democrats. Shh, don't tell anybody. Even the liberals are moving too. So
they ain't moving here.
We don't want
them. No. I don't move them here. I keep them out.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for making us part of your morning. Thanks to Justin Kosick, our technical producer, and Quinn McCarthy, our producer. We're back here bright and early tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. And Sean, I love you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Love you too. Merry Crisis. Happy New Fear.
Yeah, wait.
Hang on.
Merry Crisis and Happy New Fear. I think I'm going to turn that into a song tomorrow.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.